Oh my gosh, thank you, Jeff. So cool. Oh, what a year. Can you say that? Oh, what a year. Can you put your hands up? Oh, what a year. And now what? And I'd like us to think about, and now what, not as, and now what, like the next horrible thing, but rather the expectation of, and now what? And now we get to create something new. We have this possibility. So I know that this past year was unusual and unexpected. Who would have thought, right? And all of us missed out on some important family event or event, possibly. A wedding, an anniversary, a holiday, a graduation, a birth, a memorial. Still, they were honored and remembered. In some way, we celebrated them. We found a way, didn't we? So the challenges of this year invited us to try new ways to express ourselves and to celebrate. So give yourselves a hand for making it through it all. Bravo. Bravo. I know it has not been easy, and yet we're still here. So what did you learn about yourself this past year? I learned just how resilient and adaptable I am. Oh, I had my days of woe is me and enough already. But I have to say that I had more days of gratitude in my heart for my life that far outweighed my complaining and the seeming inconveniences that were happening. How about you? I want to take a moment in this service today to honor the past, since today is the last Sunday of 2020. We're heading into a new year, and it's always an auspicious time to let go of the old and bring in the new. So I want us to think of this kind of like a burning bowl ceremony, right? And ceremony I'm really a ceremony and ritual gal. It has a symbolic meaning to us psychically and in our heart to go through a ceremony or a ritual. So I'm going to lead you through a short letting go and bringing in this morning. So let's just take a moment. Again, if you like, close your eyes, take a breath. And we're going to honor the past year. And first, I would like to honor all of those beautiful souls who passed on. I know some of you lost some dear loved ones. And so we just honor and bless all of those who moved and transitioned this year. Bless them with your heart. And now I would like you to think about one thing you are proud of having accomplished this past year, or something you improved upon. And just tap into that intuition, that soul voice within you, and just ask yourself, what one thing am I proud of having accomplished this year or improved upon? And see what shows up. Just listen. And then just savor that memory for a moment. Yeah, you did it. Good job. And what blessings did you receive this year, both expected and unexpected? What was a blessing that showed up in your life? Bring that to mind. And take a breath. And now bring to mind something you would like to release from the past year. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's worry. Whatever it is, just bring to mind what no longer serves your highest good and that you would like to gently let go of. Just bring it to mind. There may be more than one thing. In fact, what we're going to do is release quite a few of them. And I'm going to call them burdens, grievances, upsets. So I invite you to bring your hands out in front of you, palms up. And remember, this is a ceremonial release, just like the burning bowl. So I want you to imagine you're putting all of those burdens in the palm of your hand, any grievances, any upsets, any fears, any worries, any doubts, any resentments. Just put them there. Thank them for what they were, but that you're ready to let them go. And so we're going to just throw them behind you on your exhale. So you want to feel the burden, whatever it is, and then literally throw it behind your shoulders and do about four or five of those on your own. You can visualize it specific something or just in general, I let go of what doesn't serve me. Just do it symbolically, putting it back, letting it go, dissolving it. It has no power. One more. Yeah. And now feel your hands light, empty. The lightness of your being that you can fill with something. Something powerful, magical, empowering. And so I'm going to say three sentences and you're going to fill in the blank. And again, use your soul voice, your intuition. I am here to what? I am here to and honor whatever shows up. Number two, I feel joy when I feel joy when and number three, I can serve or help by what? I can serve or help by and then allow any final whispers or nudges to come through. Feel gratitude for this moment. Fold your palms together, accept it all, then gently open your eyes and relax. Ralph Waldo Emerson, who was very influential to Ernest Holmes, says, "Finish each day and be done with it. You have done what you could do. Some blunders and absurdities no doubt crept in. Forget them as soon as you can. Tomorrow is a new day. Begin it well and serenely and with too high a spirit to be encumbered with your old nonsense." With your old nonsense. It's kind of like the last talk I did where Emerson talked about getting our bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuitry. Do you have any old nonsense? What if we thought of each day as a new opportunity, a holy opportunity to start again and to celebrate our life? Every day can be made significant through the power of our consciousness. So let's have every day this year, this new year, be filled with potential for good. What a year. Now what? Now what? So first I want to talk about creating a new contagion. And Ernest Holmes and Paramahansa Yogananda both talk about this. And I'm going to give a little plug first for my upcoming book study with Paramahansa Yogananda's beautiful book called The Yoga of Jesus, Understanding the Hidden Teachings of the Gospels. And Ernest Holmes, the founder of Science of Mind, in the textbook, also had a whole chapter on finding the Christ and metaphysical interpretations of the New Testament. And so both of the gentlemen lived around the same time and were teaching at the same time these truth principles. And so I'm going to share a little bit today from both of them. They are my mentors for sure. So Ernest Holmes first talks about, in Living the Science of Mind, the contagion of fear. And this was written probably in the 50s. And it shows you how timeless his writing is. The world is too largely governed by fear. We are afraid of this and that and something else. We are afraid of what has happened, what is happening, and what we think is going to happen. Wow. If fear is contagious and does in some mysterious way secrete a germ which acts negatively in the physical body, I think it's not too much to say that it also secretes some kind of mental germ in the whole collective consciousness, which affects everyone with a sense of confusion, uncertainty, and anxiety. He says, it would be interesting if someday we should read a headline in the daily newspaper which said, a germ of fear is now operating in a certain locality or infecting a whole community. Was this prophetic or what? And it would be interesting if the same article were to tell us that a group of people were working to counteract this fear germ by broadcasting faith. And then after a while, we would pick up another newspaper which had a headline reading, "We are now inoculated with faith, and the fear germ has disappeared." The quickest and most effective method, he says, to get rid of fear is to get quiet and lift up the whole thought in confidence and faith to something bigger than we are. It's like going from a cold, dark room into the sunshine and just sitting there, letting the rays of the sun penetrate the whole being with warmth and color until the darkness and dampness are gone. So it is with a life of prayer and faith, of affirmative meditation, communion with the divine spirit, which is closer to us than our very breath. That's why I mentioned why we do our spiritual practices. So we're living from faith, not fear. And then in the Yoga of Jesus, Paramahansa Yogananda has something to say about that as well. The habit of being inwardly in the calm presence of God must be developed so that day and night that consciousness will remain steadfast. It is worth the effort, for to live in the consciousness of God is to be done with enslavement to dis-ease, suffering, and fear. Just be with God. That is the be-all and end-all of life. If one resolves never to go to sleep at night without meditating and feeling the divine presence, into one's life will come happiness beyond all expectation. Effort is necessary, but that effort will make one a king enthroned in the kingdom of peace and joy. Blessed is he who makes up his mind never to rest until he has found God. Paramahansa Yogananda goes on to say, be always intoxicated with the divine, with the wave of your consciousness ever at rest on the bosom of the eternal sea. When one is kicking and splashing about in the water, there's little consciousness of the ocean itself, but of the struggle. But when one lets go and relaxes, the body floats. It feels its buoyancy, the whole sea lapping around it. That is the way the calm devotee feels God, with the whole universe of divine happiness rocking gently beneath his consciousness. Ah, that's so soothing. To remember, we just need to turn within. So now what? We're moving into a new time, and we've been through a lot. So I propose we create a new contagion, a contagion of kindness. Would you like that? Would that be a little more fun? Kindness. I mean, think about it. What if kindness was the norm in our communities, in our workplaces, in our homes? Kindness benefits both the receiver and the giver. One of the best things we can do for ourselves is to do something nice for someone else. So if the world seems kind of mean-spirited right now, or dysfunctional, acts of kindness can make us more trusting and actually healthier. Because when we're kind, it produces tonic chemicals throughout our body, not toxic chemicals. It opens our heart. It taps us into that divine nature. So I'm going to give you some suggestions for this week, and maybe you already do these or you have some of your own. Let someone go ahead of you in line at the grocery store or the post office. Kindness. Let someone go ahead of you in traffic. Ah. Try it when they're trying to get out of a parking lot. Ah. Kindness. Compliment someone on their work. You do a great, great job, Jeff. Thank you. Compliment the clerk at the store. Just say, thanks for being here. Kindness. This is one of my favorites, post anonymous uplifting sticky notes for people to find in odd places. That was one of my assignments one time with my coach. And she had us fill out those blank business cards, and I printed up, you are blessed, thank you for being you, have a beautiful, fun day, just different fun things. And then I popped them off, and I had about, 36 cards. And I had them in my pocket, and I went to the grocery store, and I snuck them between the can of corn and the beans. And then I went down the pasta aisle, and I put a couple where people were going to grab pasta. I put one in the bread aisle. So when people are going to grab something, they get this little card, and it lights them up. Kindness. Send an encouraging text to someone, or call a friend, or email someone, and just say, hi, I'm thinking about you. And then, of course, just say thank you and bless you. And you can do bless you silently, especially to those people that might push your buttons a little bit. Bless you. Thank you. So do you have some, probably of your own? Yeah, let me know. I'd like to have more on my list as well. So this past season, we celebrated many holidays and spiritual traditions. And those ceremonies, and we had a beautiful one here, Christmas Eve, if hopefully you got to see that. They can all magnify our kindness, our caring, and our connection with each other. But it can also, this time of year, create feelings of separation, uncertainty. So I do think it's helpful to add that spice of kindness, compassion, and patience when we interact with others. Because everyone's really doing the best they can, even you, even me. And I do stumble, and yet I can pick myself up So let's hold compassionate care in our hearts, especially for those people who are really feeling challenged right now. There's a lot of things in the big world where things we might not agree with. And I remember reading about Yogananda said, if we start to remember to come from our Christ heart, we would never criticize or condemn another person. But we can criticize or disagree with the principle that they are exhibiting. And I really like that reminder that I can disagree with the principle, but I don't condemn the person themselves. Otherwise, I can't see that light within them. So, I don't know about you, but don't you think it's time for less judgment and more cooperation? So what if our collective kindness and compassion and cooperation are the keys that are missing that can redirect life's downward-seeming spiral and can move us forward into coherent stabilization? When we move from our heart, that's the only thing that can happen. Our heart never steers us wrong, ever. So are you willing to move from your heart in 2021? Yeah? So as we tap into the wisdom of the heart, we can support everyone in that loving kindness. So are you willing to try it at least? So the last thing I wanted to share with you today, beside the contagion of kindness, is looking to the horizon. So sailors say that when you feel seasick, make your way up to the deck and look to the horizon. Have you ever been seasick? It's not fun. It is not fun. And yes, that's what they say. Come up onto the deck. Keep your eyes on the horizon. Now, while that might not prevent the pitch and the drop of the waves in a rough sea, it is somehow less upsetting if a larger context is kept into view. So in truth, no matter what we individually or collectively are facing, our greatest fear can be lessened when we can keep a larger sense of life before us, like a horizon, open to that larger possibility of something else. That is the difference between despair and faith, between a narrow viewpoint and a life-giving possibility. That larger horizon is divine. It's God. It's good. Even during our hardest times, if we can keep our eyes on the horizon, our thoughts on the givingness of God, we will be able to endure and rise above any circumstance. Any circumstance. That's what we're being called to do right now. I told my yoga class not too long ago, it takes courage not to fall apart right now. So if we're willing, are you willing, to keep God in view, it will allow those ups and downs to be less upsetting. Keeping that larger view can be the difference between thinking life is hard and knowing that our experience is moving us to a greater possibility. So when you hear the phrase, life is good and all is well, which we say a lot, life is good, what does that bump up against in you? Just notice. Life is good. Can you even say that to yourself? And don't judge what comes up, but just be aware of it. Because this is where our spiritual practice is going to help. Once we become aware of our habitual thought patterns, if we drop into the, oh, it's not so good, our awareness can transmute that and we can transcend it because good is on the horizon. God, divinity, infinite intelligence, whatever name you want to use, is on always on the horizon.